Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for this message. And today I'll be preaching from the book of Galatians chapter 3. This is part 2 of a two-part message entitled The Seed of Abraham. Last week, part 1. Today is the final message on that, part 2. The Seed of Abraham. And what I've been talking about here in Galatians chapter 3 is where the Apostle Paul had been exposing false preachers who came into the church or churches at Galatia and tried to divert believers, true believers, away from all of salvation on Christ and in Christ. Christ as our all in all. Salvation by God's grace totally, 100%, through the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness alone. These false preachers were trying to divert true believers away from looking to Christ alone and get them under the old covenant law of Moses in order to attain or maintain salvation or to be holier or to be more righteous. And Paul said that was another gospel. These were false preachers. And these false preachers were Jewish unbelievers who claimed to be Christian. And I sort of liken it to today, where you have a lot of people, a lot of preachers who claim to be Christian, who claim to believe salvation by grace, who claim to believe in Christ, but they will add things to what Christ accomplished on the cross for the salvation of His people. They will add things to what Christ did for the believer, for the person to do, in order to attain or maintain salvation or to be righteous. It's kind of like saying, I know we're saved by grace, but you have to do this in order to be saved. One of the classic, one of the most common heresies is those who claim, well, you're saved by the grace of God through what Christ did, but you have to be baptized in order to be saved. You have to persevere in order to be saved. Even today's false message of you have to believe to be saved. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, do you have to believe? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But there's a context there that has to be considered, and it's the gospel. And what it shows us is that our believing is not what saves us. Christ saves us, but our believing is just evidence of that salvation and connects us with Christ. If you never come to faith in Christ, then you will die in your sins. There's no doubt about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I want to show you something in these passages about the seed of Abraham. Now, we talked about this. Abraham, when we talk about the seed of Abraham, we're talking about his descendants, his offspring, as it were. Well, Abraham had a natural seed that is physical, and Abraham has a spiritual seed. So what's the difference? Well, the natural seed, think about this. Abraham had a child with an Egyptian bondwoman named Hagar. And you can read about that in the book of Genesis. His name was Ishmael. He was a natural, physical descendant of Abraham. And out of Ishmael came the Arab people. So they are his natural seed. But then later on, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, when they were well past the age of conceiving a child and bearing a child, they had a child named Isaac, the miracle child, the child of promise. And Isaac was a natural seed of Abraham. And so out of Isaac came the Jewish people. So they are natural descendants of Abraham. And it was through them, through Isaac and his descendants, later on it was narrowed even down from there, from Jacob. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Well, it was come through the line of Jacob. And then later on it was even narrowed even more to the tribe of Judah and David. So that Abraham had all these natural descendants, and it was through them, through Isaac, through Jacob, through David, that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come according to the flesh. So Christ is the seed of Abraham. Now that's where Paul goes to in Galatians chapter 3 when he's talking about Abraham's seed over in verse 16. Of Galatians 3. I dealt with this last week. He said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now what promises is Paul talking about here in Galatians? You know, God made many promises to Abraham. Some of those promises were physical and temporal. Like the promise of a physical land to the Jewish people for 1500 years from Sinai to the cross. But the promises that Paul's talking about is the eternal spiritual promises of salvation that comes through Christ. Look at it. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So that's talking about the humanity of Christ as the seed of Abraham. Christ had to have a human body and soul without sin in order to do the great work that he was commissioned to do and agreed to do before the foundation of the world in the everlasting covenant of grace. And what was that great work? It was to fulfill all the conditions of the salvation of God's chosen people. And that's what he did when he became incarnate and was born of the Virgin Mary, and he kept the law perfectly. And then he went to the cross to die, to suffer, to bleed, and to die as the surety and the substitute of God's people. And what he did is he satisfied the justice of God, and he brought forth everlasting righteousness, the righteousness of God. That's what's revealed in the gospel, which is the entire merit of his whole work of redemption. And that's imputed, charged, accounted to his people. So Christ was Abraham's seed according to the flesh. You see, Christ is both God and man in one person. You know, somebody said, well, he's got two natures. He's got the nature of deity and the nature of humanity without sin. And so that's who it is. That's the kind of person that it took to save his people from their sins. And so what Paul is talking about here is, and one of the points he's making here, is that when Christ came into the world and did his great work, that was the abolishment of the old covenant law, never to be brought up again. It was the fulfillment of what God intended from the beginning. And they asked the question then, well, why did God even give the law? It was given to expose their sin. You see, the sinnerhood, you might say, the sinfulness of man, is one of the main themes of the Bible. The Bible teaches us that God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, and man is sinful. Man deserves nothing but eternal damnation. That's why I say on this program all the time, don't pray for God to give you what you've earned or what you deserve, because if he did, the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. So that's why the law was given, to expose the impossibility of salvation or righteousness or blessing based upon our best efforts to keep the law. Verse 22 of Galatians 3, listen, it's the scripture. That's the Word of God. Hath concluded all under sin. That's Jew and Gentile. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's the promise by faith. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. What He did, He was faithful to do what He promised and was willing and able to do. And it's given to them that believe. See, you must believe. When I tell you that our faith, it's not our faith that makes the difference between saved and lost, between heaven and hell. I'm not telling you that faith is unnecessary. If anybody goes out and says that, they're lying. Faith is necessary. But not as a means or a way of attaining or maintaining salvation. Faith is not the ground of salvation. The blood of Christ is. You see what I'm saying? Faith is not the cause of salvation. The sovereign electing love of God is. So he says, and let me prove that to you. Look at verse 23 of Galatians 3. He says, but before faith came, we, that is the Jewish nation, were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now, when he says before faith came, and the faith that should afterwards be revealed, what's he talking about? Well, he's already told you. The context, he's talking about the coming of Christ into the world. When he says before faith came, does that mean that that sinners were not saved by faith before during the time of the law or before the law? Well, the Bible tells us otherwise. The Bible says that Abel, by faith Abel, was accepted to God. What was Abel's faith? It was the blood of Christ. It wasn't Abel's believing, it was the blood of Christ. Enoch and Noah, Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, all of those that were saved, they believed. Christ said Abraham believed, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Well, what's he talking about before faith came? He's talking about the promise that God gave Abraham to send Christ. So you could say it this way, but before Christ came, we were kept under the law. And that's what it means. The Jewish nation, the Hebrew children, were kept under the old covenant law from Sinai to the cross. And when Christ on the cross, he hanged on that cross and he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost, and the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, indicating that the old covenant was abolished and the new covenant had begun. So he says they were shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. You see, salvation for sinners, even the Hebrew children, was never by their works under the law. The law was given to show them their sin, their inadequacy, their weakness, the impossibility of salvation by works. It was always by Christ. And he was pictured in that law, the ceremonies, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the tabernacle, all of that, the scapegoat, the feast days, all of those pictured Christ in salvation by God's grace for his people based on his blood and righteousness. But he says in verse 24 of Galatians 3, wherefore, for this reason, the law was our schoolmaster. That word is tutor. It was our tutor to bring us unto Christ. In other words, it was given to bring them up to the time of Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, to be justified by faith does not mean to be justified by our believing. Faith here means justified by the blood of Christ. Now, that's what we do believe if we're saved. If we're Christians, we do believe in Him. You see, it's kind of like this, and maybe this will help you understand what I'm trying to explain. There are a lot of people today, I believe, that are sadly deceived because they have faith, not in Christ, but they have faith in their faith. In other words, they really believe that they made the difference. But you see, true saving faith looks to Christ as the only one who has made the difference between saved and lost. And so that's what he's talking about. To be justified means to be not guilty. It means to be righteous. And whenever the Holy Spirit brings a sinner to believe, they are justified in their conscience because that they're declared not guilty and they realize there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now look at these last few verses of Galatians 3 because here's what I'm coming. The seed of Abraham. Christ is the seed of Abraham. But who is the seed of Abraham here in these verses? And you know who he's talking about here? He's talking about believers, both Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And what this shows us is Abraham's spiritual seed. Those who are connected to Abraham by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they're called Abraham's seed, and I'll show you that. Not because Abraham created them or Abraham saved them. They're called Abraham's seed spiritually because they are connected to him. He is like the archetype, as one old writer said, the best example of how God saves sinners and brings those sinners to faith in Christ. And look at verse 26 of Galatians 3. He says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Are you a child of God? Well, if you are, you will at some point in your life be brought under the preaching of the gospel, and you'll hear about the glorious person and finished work of Christ for his people, and you'll be convinced by the Holy Spirit of your sins and of what Christ accomplished to put away the sins of his people, and you'll be brought to faith in Christ Jesus, and that pertains to both Jews and Gentiles who believe. He's preaching here, writing to the church in Galatia. It was made up of Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And here's what he says. You're all the children of God, not just the Jews, but you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Believing in Jesus Christ gives evidence you're a child of God. And let me say this, and I'll show you this over here in Galatians 4. Just look down the page there, Galatians 4 a little bit. Believing doesn't make a person a child of God. Believing reveals that a person has already been adopted into God's family in Christ before the foundation of the world. Look at verse 4 of Galatians 4. He says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son," that's Christ, the second person of the Trinity, God, "made of a woman," that's his humanity, his human body and soul without sin, "made under the law." That means all the conditions of salvation were placed on him as the surety of his people. Verse 5 of Galatians 4. "To redeem them that were under the law, to pay the price," redemption, we read about that, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." And he says, "that we might receive the adoption of sons," and look at verse 6, "and because you are sons," not in order to be sons, but because you are sons, children of God, and sons here is just a generic form of children there. It doesn't exclude the women who believe. It's all together. "Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And that's that. Abba is a word that indicates a new and special relationship with God, a right relationship with God, reconciliation with God, to God, based upon what Christ has accomplished. He is my Father. In verse 7 of Galatians 4, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant," that is a forced legal slave trying to pay a debt, "but a son, a child in the family of God. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Because you are sons. Now go back to Galatians 3. Look at verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now here's where we have to use what I call the responsible rules of scriptural interpretation. Most people today, they hear that term baptized, and what do they think of? Well, if you're in the Catholic Church or the Presbyterian Church or places like that, you think of infant baptism. Well, my friend, and you're thinking about the rite of infant baptism. Well, my friend, that is totally unscriptural. There is no infant baptism in the Bible. Many of them say, well, that's the New Testament replacement for Old Testament circumcision. It's not true. Circumcision was never a type of the ordinance of water baptism. Circumcision was a type of the new birth, circumcision of the heart. What does the word baptize mean? Now, don't get me wrong. Believers are to confess their faith in Christ through the ordinance of water baptism, believer's baptism, which is immersion. And that's the New Testament ordinance of confession. But what does the word baptism mean? First of all, understand that the Apostle Paul is not talking about water baptism here. The word baptized means to be placed into. That's why we say it's immersion. It's not sprinkling, not pouring. But it means to be placed into. Now, what's he talking about here? He's saying this. He's saying, for as many as of you as have been placed into Christ, have put on Christ. What is it to be placed into Christ? That's talking about the union of believers with Christ. Now, if you're a believer, when were you placed into Christ? Well, the Bible teaches this, that before the foundation of the world, God chose you and gave you to Christ. He's your representative. He's your surety. All of your salvation was conditioned on Him. The debt of your sins was placed to His account and His righteousness to yours. That's representation. That's election. Now, secondly, you were placed in, if you're a believer now, you were placed into Christ at the cross when He redeemed you. He died for your sins. And thirdly, you were placed into Christ when the Holy Spirit gave you life in the new birth. You see, even though a believer has been one of God's children all along, we're born naturally dead and spiritual, dead spiritually in trespasses and sins. And there's no difference between us and the children of wrath, the scripture says. We're enemies, rebels. And God brings us to be reconciled to Him through the gospel. And so that's what he's talking about. When you put on Christ, what does that mean? You believe in Him. You rest in Him. You submit to His righteousness. Now, in Christ, verse 28 of Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek. That means Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You're one in Him. In other words, the whole church, the true elect of God, the sheep of Christ, they're all one in Christ. And verse 29 says this, and if you be Christ, if you belong to Christ, is what that means, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you see that? Who is Abraham's spiritual seed? All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as they have been circumcised in heart and ears by the Holy Spirit. Over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, listen what the Apostle Paul writes here. For we are the circumcision. He's talking about Jew and Gentile here who have been brought to faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit. How do you know? What's the evidence of that? How do you know you've been circumcised in the heart? That's the new birth. Given life from Christ. Because of His righteousness imputed. Well, we worship God in the Spirit. As we're guided by the Holy Spirit, we worship God from a sincere heart in truth. And then we rejoice in Christ Jesus. That word rejoice means to glory, to have confidence in. Our confidence of salvation, of righteousness, of forgiveness, of eternal life is Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in anything we do or try to do. Our salvation is in Christ. That's who Abraham's seed is. Look at it again, Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, what is the promise? Well, the promise is all of salvation, all of its blessings. When we talk about the forgiveness of sins, when we talk about pardon of our iniquity, when we talk about justification before God, being made right with God, being declared by God not guilty, being declared righteous in His sight. That's the promise. When we talk about the blessings of salvation, when we talk about preservation, when we talk about eternal glory, the promise is that all of that was conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all those conditions, and the believer, the family of God, they're the fruit of what Christ accomplished. And when you become one who has been brought to faith in Christ, then and only then do you give evidence of being one of God's chosen people, being one of God's elect, being one whom Christ redeemed on the cross, being one who is born again by the Holy Spirit, being one who is Abraham's seed. The Bible teaches us that over in Romans 2:28, talking about a Jew, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, that is by the law, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's the circumcision of the heart, leading sinners to Christ, Abraham's seed. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.